If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 11 to 13 as we continue in our series, By His Stripes. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 13. Paul writes, "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool." Now let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for that offer you give us over and over again in your word, that when we take all of our worries and give them to you, you will give us your peace in return. And I pray that every single one of us here this morning would realize how much we need to be doing that right now. Pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. My mom is 88 years old and still lives back in Watsika. And she is the biggest worrier in the whole wide world. Love her to death, but if worry was an Olympic sport, my mom would have more gold medals than Michael Phelps. She's that good at it. Well, last week, my mom called me on the phone all worried and stressed out because a skunk had gotten in her garage and wouldn't get out. And so I told her, "Mom, just take some bread, tear it up in pieces, leave a trail of breadcrumbs leaking out of the garage." Then the very next day, she called me again, even more worried and stressed out than before. And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because I did what you said with the bread. Now I got two skunks in my garage." Worry is killing us, people. Millions and millions of us living on a raw nerve. And how many times do we have to be shown worrying doesn't make anything better? It just makes everything worse. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can be healed of that worry every single time the temptation comes. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series for Lent called By His Stripes, looking how the stripes Jesus bore and the blood that He shed on the cross can still heal us from anything and everything that's ailing us today. Last week we saw that by His stripes we can be healed of sin. And today we see that by His stripes we can also be healed of worry. And to see that, we turn this morning to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 11 to 13. All throughout the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul tells us over and over again that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is far more superior to the old Jewish sacrifice system at the temple. And here in chapter 10, Paul tells us about all the blessings that come from the stripes and the blood of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And our text today tells us one of those blessings is healing from worry, and the Holy Spirit is telling us today that blessing we need like nobody's business. Our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 13, tells us three things that we need to do to be healed of worry by His stripes. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to be healed of worry, we need to understand the provision that was made for it. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 11 and 12. Now, when the Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, He got more frequent flyer miles than Superman. Because even though in the flesh He went to the tomb, in the spirit Jesus went to hell to declare victory over sin, death, and the devil. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. And then verse 12 here, He went to heaven. Old Testament priests had to offer the blood of their sacrifice to God the Father in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Jesus Christ, the great high priest, had to offer the blood of His perfect sacrifice to God the Father in the Holy of Holies in the heavenly tabernacle. And what was the purpose of that? Not just to make provision for every single thing that sin that we commit, but to also make provision for every single thing that we worry about and that freaks us out. Because that blood, that shed blood of Jesus Christ, not only gives us forgiveness, it also gives us peace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Because He who did not spare His own Son, but willingly gave Him up for us all, how much more will He graciously give us all things? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. So, people, let me ask you this morning. If God the Father was willing to put His own Son, Jesus Christ, through hell on a cross just to save your soul, do you honestly believe, do you honestly think there is anything that He won't do for you? So all us nervous Nellies listening to this sermon this morning, what in the world are we worried about? That shed blood not only gives us forgiveness from God, it also gives us access to God. Because that blood not only got Jesus to heaven, it also gets us to heaven too through our prayers. And people who have any idea what an incredible blessing that is? Because what else do we have access to today? If you ever have to contact Secretary of State's office in Springfield, Illinois, good luck getting a phone number. And even if you do get a phone number, good luck getting an actual human being to take your call. Because the gods on Mount Olympus can't be bothered to talk to mere mortals like you and me. Access. Years ago, my wife Sue worked with Franklin Graham at Samaritan's Purse in Boone, North Carolina. And today, they're still really good friends. So one year we were driving through Boone, Sue pulls up right in front of Franklin Graham's house, goes and knocks on the front door. His wife Jane was there, and then Franklin showed up because he just got done jogging. Now, if that was me by myself, he'd have turned the dog on me because he didn't know me from Adam. People, I got to see Franklin Graham in his own house because my wife Sue got me in there. Access. It's not just what you know, it's also who you know. And folks, we got access through the shed blood of Jesus Christ to God in heaven. I can't get in the White House. I can't get in the Supreme Court or Buckingham Palace. I can't get in the highlight room in Hollywood where Jay-Z and LeBron go to throw it down. But anytime I want, I can close my eyes, bow my heads, fold my hand together in prayer, and beam me up, Scotty. I can be in the very throne room of God Almighty Himself. Do we understand the provision that was made for the things that we worry about? And I know there's somebody asking me right now, Kevin, why do bad things have to happen that cause us to worry anyway? Because we live in a world that's so totally screwed up by sin that nothing now operates in this universe like God originally created it to. That's why we have things like floods and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. That's why you have things like dandelions and moles in your front yard. That's why one out of every four pregnancies ends in a miscarriage. That's why people get things like diabetes and COVID and ALS and brain tumors. I still have people coming up to me. They say, Kevin, if you're going to be around me, you've got to be vaccinated and you've got to wear a mask because I have a right to be safe. What are you talking about? There's no constitutional right to be safe. Life in a fallen world, you're never 100% safe. Anywhere doing anything. Heaven's sakes, 450 people still die in this country every single year, falling out of bed. That's why your only real security comes from knowing the Lord. Jesus tells us flat out, John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have difficulty. So the real question is not why me. The only real question is why not me? And even though God doesn't cause bad things to happen to us, He does allow some bad things to happen to us, to wake us up, to get our attention, to make us realize how much we need Him, get us to pray and draw us back to Him. And God tells us the goal for every single one of us is what? Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that we might be conformed to the image of His Son to make us more and more like Jesus, which means God is going to put you through every single experience that He put Jesus through. So buckle up. You say, but Kevin, doesn't God want me to be happy? No, God wants you to be holy because God knows when you get holy, then you'll get happy. Amen. Do we understand the provision that was made for our worries? So let me ask you this morning. What are you worried about right now? Doctors say one out of five Americans are suffering from severe anxiety disorder because of worry. You say, thanks, Kevin. Now I'm worrying about worrying too much. You're worried that your parents are going to split up. You're worried that you're never going to understand algebra. You're worried that you're never going to graduate from college. You're worried that you're never going to get married. Because even the pizza guy's looking good to you right now. Because at least he's got a job, a car, and a pizza. You worried that your six-year-old son never eats vegetables. The kid goes to McDonald's one more time, he's going to look like a chicken McNugget. You're worried that you're no longer attracted to your husband. You're worried about all the drinking that your son is doing right now. You're worried about all the time that your wife is spending texting with her ex. You're worried that your kids and your grandkids aren't really saved. You're worried about getting old. When you were younger, you worked at being hip. Now you just hope your hip works. You're worried about getting cancer. You worry about getting Alzheimer's. You worry about having to go to a nursing home someday and everybody you love forgetting that you're even there. Worried. Actor Shannon Doherty back in 2015 beat breast cancer. But last October it came back with a vengeance and now it's stage 4. And Shannon Doherty is going through the scariest time of her entire life. But this is what she said. This has been the most hellacious thing I've ever dealt with. But all the while I'm sick and puking and aching, I think about all that Jesus went through on the cross. And it keeps me going because I realize what I'm going through is nothing compared to all the sufferings that He went through for me. Some way, somehow, people, in a way that we can't even understand, by His stripes, we are healed, even from worry. People, do we understand the provision that was made through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Doctors tell us that 4% of Americans can't deal with blood draws because they get woozy at the sight of their own blood. And one of that 4% is me. Other people's blood, I can see people bleed like a stuck hog. I can see blood transfusions, blood draws in hospitals. No problem. When I see that needle go into my arm and my blood starts coming through that tube, I fold like an old card table. Very first time I had blood work done, a blood draw for an insurance policy, nurse came to the house. She stuck that needle in my arm. I saw the blood coming out. I hit the floor like a sack of potatoes. And when I came to, I asked her, why did that happen? Is it because I didn't eat enough today? Or is it because I just got done running and exercising? She just laughed and she said, it's all in your head, Nancy. Talk about feeling like a wuss. So ever since then, I've always told the person who's going to stick me, I get woozy at this. You better be careful. Years ago, Sue and I had blood work done at the hospital in La Salle, Peru. So I told the nurse on duty, I said, I get lightheaded at doing this. Is there any place that I can lay down because I might pass out? She said, the only thing we got is that bed over there, but that's just for little kids who cry about it. Well, that's me. 10 years ago, Sue and I had blood work done at a pharmacy in Ottawa because it was a lot cheaper than the hospital. And I told the male nurse who was collecting the blood, I said, I get really lightheaded. He said, no problem. I'll talk to you all the while they're going through it and keep your mind off of it. So I said, okay. I gave him my arm. I turned my head. And he started talking to me. Oh, you got really nice veins here. And this needle is going in really well. And oh, your blood is a really nice dark red color. And it's really, really gushing. And I'm filling up these vials really, really fast. 5, 6, 7. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there sweating bullets, dizzy as a coon, because he's talking to me all right. What he's talking to me about is the blood coming out of my arm. And when he was all done, I wobbled to the men's bathroom. Sue sat down because she was next in line. All of a sudden, they heard a thud. And the guy runs over and starts banging on the bathroom door. Mr. Garner, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I passed out because you siphoned all the blood out of me and gave me a play-by-play all the while it was going on. But you know what made it better? About 6 years ago, I had a blood draw done at LabCorp in Naperville. And I told the male nurse who was going to stick me, I said, I get really lightheaded at this. He said, no problem, I'll get you through it. So I gave my arm, I turned my head, and he said, now where are you from? I said, I'm from Marseilles. And he said, oh, Marshall Fields, that's up north in Chicago. I said, no, not Marshall Fields, Marseilles area down south. He said, no, you said Merrillville, that's over in Indiana. Asking me stupid question after stupid question to keep me distracted and to keep my mind off of. Before you know it, I was done, and I stayed vertical the whole time. People, thank God, our peace and salvation doesn't depend on me giving my blood, because if it did, we'd all go to hell for sure. Thank God, the number one most important blood donor of all time was Jesus Christ. Because peace doesn't come from me and my blood, peace only comes from Him and His blood. And Jesus didn't have to have anybody take His mind off of what He was doing, because Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross and made provision for absolutely every single thing that we need, so that everybody who really trusts in Him will never ever have another real worry in the world. The first thing that we need to do in order to be healed of worry, we need to understand the provision. We go on in this text, we see a second thing.
A second thing we need to do to be healed of worry. We not only need to understand the provision, we also need to trust His authority. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here also in verses 11 and 12. Every one of those Old Testament priests in the temple offered those sacrifices to God in the presence of the Lord. They stood all the while they were doing it. Because even though they slaughtered more animals than the Chicago stockyards, all those animal sacrifices never took away any sin. So their job was never done. So they never, ever, ever sat down in the presence of the Lord. In fact, there wasn't even any chairs in the tabernacle or in the temple to sit down in, even if the priests had wanted to sit down for that reason. But verse 12, when Jesus Christ offered His perfect sacrifice once for all time, His sacrifice and work was done, and holy feng shui, people, Jesus did sit down. But notice, not just because He was retired, not just because He was kicking back to watch the NCAA tournament. When Jesus' work of sacrificing was done, He sat down and then started His work of intercessing for us and helping us. And He's been sitting there ever since. And where does it say that Jesus sat down? At the right hand of God the Father, the highest, loftiest position of power and authority that there is. So the throne was a two-seater. Jesus sat next to God because Jesus is God. But people, do we have any idea the kind of authority that Jesus Christ really has? Astronomers tell us that the universe is 300 billion light years across, which means if we had a spaceship that could travel the speed of light, 693 million miles per second, which we don't, but if we did, if we had a spaceship that could travel that fast, it would still take us 300 billion years to get from one end of the universe to the other. And the universe has 2 trillion galaxies and 20 octillion stars, which is a 20 followed by 23 zeros, and every single one of those stars more powerful than 500 billion nuclear reactors. And yet, people, Jesus Christ created all of that instantly, out of nothing, simply by speaking it into being, by the power of His Word and the breath of His mouth. Whoa! Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You ain't just kidding. And it ain't bragging if you can do it. The reason that Jesus is sitting in that chair is because He's king, rootin', tootin', high and mighty, told you so, boss of the applesauce, bar none. And it's the blood that got Him there. And it's the blood that also gets you and me there too. Because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says, if you're a Christian, regardless of what your geolocation app is telling you, you are really sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Every single U.S. president who's ever used the Oval Office in the White House has always put a chair at both ends of his desk there in the Oval Office. Those chairs are for his advisors to sit in. And it's supposed to show that his advisor's on the same level as he is. Every president. Bill Clinton did it. George W. Bush, Barack Obama, they all did it. Until President Donald Trump came along. Because when President Donald Trump got in office, he took those two chairs from beside that desk and put them in front of the desk. And you know why? Because nobody sits behind him. Nobody sits next to him. Everybody sits in front of him, facing him. It's all about power and authority. And folks, we got to realize exactly the same thing is true with us and Jesus Christ. In those heavenly realms, we don't sit next to Jesus because we're not God and we never will be. We're not sitting in the same chair, but we are sitting in the same room with all the power and authority that Jesus has given us to overcome every single thing that the devil and the world can throw at us. So all you worried willies listening to this sermon right now, when something comes along that starts eating away at you, for crying out loud, sit yourself down in the presence of the Lord, take a load off, start exercising your authority, and stop worrying. And trust His authority. But see, instead of doing that, instead of trusting His authority, we just worry instead. Doctors say that whenever you're sick, 70% of the time, it's because of stress and worry. The old English word for worry literally means to strangle. The devil using that worry to get you in a stranglehold and choke all the life and the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit right out of you. And worry trashes our witness because it shows a lack of faith. Worry means I'm trying to control everything myself instead of trusting God to control everything like I'm supposed to. 90% of what we worry about never happens. You say, Kevin, see, it works. No. I worry. Every time I go on vacation, I worry about the same three things. Did I really put the garage door down? Is my sump pump going to work? And who's going to mow my grass? I start stressing about stress before there's even any stress to be stressing about. And then I stress about more stress that I don't even have to be stressing about. And it stresses me out. It's stressful. And the cure for the stress is what? It's prayer. So the next time you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you can't go back to sleep because you're thinking about your cancer count or your daughter's new boyfriend, the guy with the police record, are you going to pray or are you going to worry? Because you can't pray and worry at the same time. It's either one or the other. And when we worry, we're telling God, God, you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, and you're not loving enough to take care of me. And He is. People, God created the very hairs of your head with a special protein called keratin that has large amounts of the sulfur-containing amino acid called cysteine that forms the disulfide bridges that confer extra strength and rigidity to your hair by permanent cross-linking. And you see there on the screen, God purposely created woman's hair with double the amount of disulfide bridges and double the amount of cross-linking. So God purposely made a woman's hair twice as strong as a guy's hair. And you know why that is? Because God knew that guys would make women want to pull their hair out. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, the hairs on your head are even numbered by God. People. And if God cares that much about your hair, don't you think that God cares even more about the rest of your life and that He's able to take care of the rest of your life too? Are we trusting His authority? No matter what circumstances come up, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how desperate it seems. John and Lori Ashworth, born-again Christian couple from Bertram, Texas, saved their entire marriage so one day they could build a brand new house for them and their kids. And they got it done back in 2021. But then just 4 months after they moved in, they noticed that house was sinking. Because come to find out, they had built it over top an underground sinkhole that they didn't even know was there. And they were worried sick because all their money was gone. They didn't have money to move the house. They didn't have money to fix it. What in the world were they going to do? So they just started crying out, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. And then last September the 12th, an E4 tornado with winds close to 200 miles an hour started dropping down out of the sky right over their property. And the Ashworths hunkered down in the bathroom and started crying out, Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us. And then the very bottom of that funnel cloud touched right around the perimeter of their house. But instead of blasting it to pieces, it just lifted that house off the foundation and moved it 100 yards to the northeast, went back up in the sky, and it was gone. And what do you know? Even though the roof and the total exterior of that house was totally shredded, all the walls and the major supports inside were still solid. So insurance got them a new foundation, a new roof, a new exterior. They hooked a new line to the old well, and it's home sweet home all over again for absolutely free. Holy Wizard of Oz, people, God used that tornado to move that house for that family. Man can't, but God can. Because Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with God. Do we have any idea the kind of authority that Jesus Christ really has? Back in 1916, a scientist named Albert Somerville said that there was a magic number in the universe that explained how absolutely everything in the universe operated. Astronomy, biology, chemistry, chemical bonding, fusion, electricity, electromagnetism, quantum mechanics, I could go on and on. And that number, according to his calculations, was 137. And it's the denominator, the bottom number of what he called the fine structure constant, which for all you eggheads means the power of the electromagnetism of electrons compared to the strong nuclear force that holds neutrons and protons together in the nucleus of an atom. So 137 is what is holding all the atoms of the universe together. It's what's holding the entire universe together and keeps it from falling apart. And over the last 100 years, scientists have done all kinds of tests to determine if that number 137 is accurate. And it is. For every material thing in the universe, everywhere in the universe, regardless of situation or circumstances or temperature or range of light or different forces of gravitational pull, the number is always 137. Last December, four scientists in a lab in Paris, France, ran a laser light through some supercooled atoms of rubidium, same number, 137. The sun spins at 137 miles per second. Chlorophyll in plants that convert sunlight to oxygen has 137 atoms. I could go on and on. But what's even more amazing is this. That number 137 is also found all over the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 verse 4, let there be light. That word light that represents God is the 37th word of the Bible, and it starts with the 137th letter. Noah's Ark was 137 meters long. The average lifespan of godly people after the flood was 137 years. Abraham was 137 years old when God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. The numerical value of the name Levi, whose tribe was called by God to carry the Ark of the Covenant, is 137. And the Ark itself had a volume of 13.7 cubic meters. The Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and in the temple were both 13.7 meters long and 13.7 meters high. The sign of Christ in the early church was the fish, a symbol shaped like the Greek letter alpha, the same name given to the fine structure constant. That Greek letter has a numerical value of 137. 137 is a 1 and a 3 and a 7. 1 standing for one God, 3 standing for one God who revealed himself in three persons, and 7 standing for the fact that he is perfect and everything he made was perfect. 137. And people, why should that surprise us? Because the Bible tells us, Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, all things are created by Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, and in Him all things hold together. A famous physicist named Richard Feynman said this, 137 is not just a number, it's like a super intelligent mind or consciousness. Who you might say, it was the hand of God that wrote that number. So 137 is not just a what, it's a who. It's not just a number, it's a person. Folks, 137 is talking about Jesus Christ, because Jesus not only created this universe, He maintains it with millions and millions of ratios finely tuned down to the smallest micron of a millimeter. What's holding the universe together is Jesus Christ, because His fingerprints are all over it. And here's what's even more amazing. The Bible also tells us that one day 137 is going to be taken away on Judgment Day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The elements, the basic elements of the universe, talking about the atoms, are going to be dissolved and the earth and everything in it is going to be destroyed. Amen. That word dissolved in the Greek is called luo, and it literally means to let loose up or to set free. So what's going to happen? Judgment Day, when Jesus lets loose of force 137, see the mushroom cloud there? As a result of the atomic bomb, how do you make an atomic bomb? You get rid of force 137. It splits the atom, there's nuclear fusion, and then there's fire like you would not believe. How does the Bible say the universe is going to end? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, by fire. Bingo. Good night, Irene and Chi-Chi bug people. She's all going to go up in flames, just exactly like the Bible says. But you know what element is always left after nuclear fusion and fire? An element called cesium, 137. People, you can't make this stuff up. Because when it's all said and done, Jesus is still going to be there. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but Jesus is never going to pass away. And everybody who trusts in Him as Savior and Lord is never going to pass away either. And folks, what is this all telling us? There is a God out there and a Son of God named Jesus Christ who created the universe and maintains it and sustains it. And He died on a cross and He rose from the dead to save your soul. And one day He's coming back to wrap everything up and to take us all home. So let me ask you this morning. If Jesus Christ has the entire universe covered from start to finish, don't you think He's got you covered from start to finish? If Jesus Christ can keep the entire universe going, don't you think He can keep you going? If Jesus can take care of a universe 300 billion light years across with 2 trillion galaxies and 20 octillion stars, don't you think Jesus can take care of your CAT scan and your daughter's COVID and that boss who's eating you up at work and your grade in that biology class? Oh, we of little faith. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. He upholds everything by the power of His Word. And don't you ever, ever forget the number one most important thing in that everything is you. The second thing that we need to do in order to be healed of worry, we've got to trust His authority. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A third thing we need to do to be healed of worry. We not only need to understand the provision, we not only need to trust His authority, but third, we just have to wait on God's plan. God's plan for the ages to wrap everything up. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 13. But the problem is, we don't want to wait on anything. Today, you can even buy Bisquick pancake mix with the water already mixed in it. Because evidently, regular Bisquick still isn't quick enough. Last March the 9th, two guys in a Burger King in East Harlem, New York, beat the snot out of the cashier because they didn't get their food in less than 2 minutes. Even fast food today isn't fast enough. Sometimes God doesn't work out His plan fast enough to suit us. But don't worry. Don't worry. God sees the bigger picture. He's got His own sense of timing. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 14. God's plans never fail. Never. Verse 13, Jesus is waiting on that throne for God the Father to give Him the signal to come down here and give all the enemies a beat down. And folks, we need to realize we're waiting for exactly the same thing. Amen. For all the enemies in this country. Like Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden and the left right now are destroying this nation. Wide open borders, trillion-dollar spending bills that are moving us closer and closer to full-blown socialism, the hyper-radical indoctrination of our kids and sexualization of our kids with LGBT propaganda in the schools, record-high murder rate, treating parents like domestic terrorists. I could go on and on. Right now, the Biden administration has declared war on the U.S. oil and gas industry because right now they are trying to buy oil from a communist dictator in Venezuela and carnival freak terrorists in Iran and Saudi Arabia, but they will not buy oil from the oil companies here in the United States. Amen. It's purposeful destruction. And they couldn't care less what a gallon of gas costs. You think Nancy Pelosi ever puts gas in a vehicle? But see, we need to thank them because they're better and smarter than we are. And they're doing us a favor because they're taking us green and saving the world. The COVID death rate. This past March the 10th, 2022, this year, was higher than the COVID death rate was March the 10th, 2021, a year ago. And that's with all the masks and the social distancing and all the idiot circles taken off the floor. And why were those taken away? Not because the science changed, but because the polls did. Proven once and for all that mitigation was not about saving anybody's life. It was all about control. And just when you think that COVID might be waning, no, no, no. Now there's BA2 and Deltacron. And even though Johns Hopkins University proved that lockdowns are absolutely worthless, the CDC is talking about shutting you down again. And Albert Bourla, CEO of Pfizer, says line up and get your 723rd booster shot. Because the COVIDian fascists had the keys of the kingdom, folks, for 2 years, and they don't want to give them back. And anybody who disagrees with them is a Russian colluder. Are you kidding me? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, when the wicked rule, the people moan. Joe Biden and the left making communism great again. How long, Lord? How long before our enemies are taken away? We're waiting for Jesus Christ to come down out of heaven and take out all the enemies in the world, too. Right now, everybody and his brother is flying the Ukrainian flag and putting yellow and blue on their Facebook page. And what is happening to the Ukrainian people is absolutely demonic. And this church has sent thousands and thousands of dollars to help Ukrainian refugees that are fleeing that country. But folks, I am not ready to join Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky fan club. Because that man is a leader of one of the most corrupt countries on the face of the earth. And back in 2014, President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden worked to overthrow the legitimate president of Ukraine, and George Soros put that man in office. And he's a Jew who's turned his back on the God of his fathers. And he's a globalist who graduated from the Klaus Schwab Young Global Leader School. And everybody thinks he's a hero. But the funny thing is, he's trying to get every country in the world involved in this war, all the while he's talking about peace and safety. And folks, isn't that what the Bible says the man of lawlessness is going to do in the last days? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Just asking. What does the Bible say the number one thing we need to be aware of in the last days? Deception. I don't trust the media. I don't trust the social media. I don't trust government. I don't trust any three-letter government agency. I don't trust the American people anymore after acting like sheeple for the last 2 years. I trust God. Everybody else has to give me proof. And if America does get into this war, do you have any faith at all in our military that we can win it? With leftist generals like Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin, who think the biggest problem in the world today is the United States of America, who think that victory is going to come by male soldiers acting like women. Heaven's sakes, they couldn't even surrender in Afghanistan to barbarians without killing 13 U.S. Marines just directing traffic. Again, it's not the boots, it's the suits. And right now, Joe Biden is hell-bent on fixing the Obama legacy by resurrecting the Iran nuke deal. And the question is, for heaven's sakes, why? Joe Biden gave Ukraine $800 million. He's given the Iranians $100 billion so they can put nuclear warheads on intercontinental ballistic missiles that can reach the United States. And even though Joe Biden considers Vladimir Putin a war criminal, he is still using Vladimir Putin to negotiate with Iran. People, this is absolute insanity. Because Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world. And their elected leaders, not the people in the streets, their elected leaders shout death to America. And 2 weeks ago, Iran destroyed the U.S. consulate in Iraq with a missile strike. Folks, you talk about treason and collaborating with the enemy. But listen to me. Things get rough. You got to get tough. You got to be tough. We've got to be tough in these last days to hold on to our faith in spite of the circumstances. So right now, suck it up. And you make a decision right here and now that you are not going to get discouraged and you are not going to let yourself be deceived. Because no matter what's going on in the world right now, no matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter how many people think you're crazy, what's truth is not what we see and hear out there. Truth is only what we read and hear. God has a plan. Jesus is just waiting on that throne for God to give him the signal. He will come back. The enemies will be destroyed. Nobody's getting away with anything. Everything is going to come out in the wash. The day of the Lord will come. And don't tell me that we can't see all of that coming together right now in front of our very eyes. God used World War I and World War II to fulfill all kinds of Bible prophecy about Israel and the last days. Prophecy that had been dormant for thousands of years. World War I, the British conquered the city of Jerusalem and issued the Balfour Declaration that called for the creation of a Jewish homeland in Israel that fulfilled 3,000-year-old Bible prophecies that one day God would bring His people back to the Holy Land. Then World War II, U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt did not want the Jews to live in Israel. So April 12, 1945, God took him out and replaced him with Harry Truman. So it was President Harry Truman who worked behind the scenes and then finally acknowledged for May 14, 1948, for the first time in 2,000 years, that Israel had become a nation again, fulfilling even more Bible prophecy. So the question is now, what Bible prophecy about Israel in the last days is going to be fulfilled by World War III? Because in case you don't realize it, folks, World War III has already started with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. World War I and World War II both started exactly the same way, with one nation invading another. And as the days go by, it just gets bigger and bigger, with more and more countries getting involved. Adolf Hitler wanted an empire. Vladimir Putin wants to restore the Soviet empire. China is already giving Russia military aid. NATO is already massing hundreds of thousands of troops in northern Europe. If there's a no-fly zone over Ukraine and one Russian plane gets shot down, the United States of America is in this war up to our eyeballs too. Queen Elizabeth has already written the letter to be read to the British people announcing to them that World War III has already started. Russian official Sergei Lavrov said there will be nuclear weapons involved in World War III. And Vladimir Putin, who's sitting on the biggest stack of them, has already said that he will use them. The CIA says this is going to get really, really ugly all over the world. And folks, during Joe Biden's State of the Union address, the federal government website was giving Americans instructions on how to survive a nuclear missile strike. World War III has already started, folks. The only issue is how fast and how far it's going to spread. So the question is, what Bible prophecy about Israel in the last days is World War III going to fulfill? Well, the next last days prophecy in line for Israel is a 7-year period called the tribulation, when the devil will deceive everybody and his brother and make them think that the Antichrist is Jesus Christ, and they will fall at his feet and worship him like a rock star. And for 3.5 years, there will be peace and safety. But then the Antichrist will reveal himself for who he really is. And he'll set up a statue of himself in front of a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and force everybody in the world to worship it. And anybody who doesn't worship it will be killed. And God will rain down 7 kinds of hell and war and plagues on the world, including on Israel and the Jewish people. And how do we know that's going to happen? Because, folks, the attacks against Israel and the Jewish people have already started. Just one day after Vladimir Putin and Russia invaded Ukraine, Vladimir Putin announced that Russia no longer recognizes Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, that area that separates Israel from Russia-controlled Syria. You tell me what Vladimir Putin's real goal is. And Vladimir Putin has announced the goal of this war is the cleansing of society, something we haven't heard anybody say since the Nazis in the 1930s and the 1940s. And in the capital city of Ukraine, in Kiev, Vladimir Putin purposely bombed a memorial to one of the worst mass slaughter of Jews in the history of Europe. 33,000 Ukrainian Jews murdered by the Nazis in World War II. Don't tell me that Vladimir Putin is not trying to finish what Hitler started. Ukrainian President Zelensky is a Jew, and right now he's calling for peace talks in Jerusalem, of all places. What did God say about Jerusalem in the last days? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. I will make Jerusalem a cup that will cause the entire world to go reeling. And if Putin and Russia keeps conquering one nation after the other, who's going to stop them? Joe Biden? Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 says the battle of Gog and Magog during the tribulation. Russia and her satellites are going to keep conquering one nation after the other and work their way south and eventually link up with other anti-Jewish forces and invade the land of Israel. People, Israel is involved in this up to their eyeballs. Listen to me. When it's other nations, it's history. When it's Israel involved, it's prophecy. Do we see what's coming? But here's the good news. What happens before the battle of Gog and Magog even starts? When the Antichrist signs that peace treaty with Israel, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it's up, up, and away. It's the rapture of the church. And how do we know we're getting close? This coming April the 12th is 2022 is the 77th anniversary of the death of FDR that allowed Israel to become a nation. This year is the 77th anniversary of President Harry Truman starting the process of helping Israel to become a nation. This coming May the 2nd is the 77th anniversary of Russia declaring that Nazi Germany, Israel's enemy, was defeated and World War II was over. This coming May the 2nd is the 777th day of the 15 days to slow the spread. I could keep going and going and going with the sevens. And the Bible says when you see the sevens, that means God is going to show up and do something that will absolutely knock your socks off. Ooh, I just got to chill. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, okay, Kevin, now you're saying that the rapture is going to happen. Absolutely not. But what I am saying is this. People, we are this close to going home. So watch and pray. And keep waiting on God's plan just a little bit longer. Because in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, He is coming in the clouds. and our enemies are going to be defeated, and we are going to go home, and we will never have another blessed thing to worry about forever and ever and ever and ever. Did I just hear a trumpet? Every single one of us came to this church this morning worried about all kinds of things. You're worried about the world. You're worried about this country and freedom and totalitarianism. We're worried about our personal lives, the money that we owe, the mortgages, the price of gas, whether or not your kids are healthy, how in the world your family's going to make it. You're worried about the CAT scans and the cancer tests and the blood draws. All kinds of things. Some of you are worried about it so much it's thrown you off. So bad it's making you physically sick. And it hurts our relationship with God. It shows a lack of faith. It's destroying our relationship with Him. And the devil absolutely loves to see us suffering and squirming. And folks, I'll tell you, we are living in scary days. I am 59 years old. I have never seen anything like this before in my entire life. I never imagined that anything could or would happen like we're seeing in the world right now. And you're with me. And we worry, are we going to make it? Am I going to be able to retire? Am I going to have any money left? Are my kids going to have a future? Are they ever going to be able to just stop it right now? I want everybody to take a look at that picture you see on the screen. Jesus' hands reaching out to you. And notice, they're even better than the good hands of Allstate because they have nail prints in them. Which means Jesus Christ has already suffered and died and rose from the dead and conquered every single thing that hurts you, every single thing that bothers you, every single thing that keeps you up at night and keeps you worried. He's already defeated it. And folks, look at that. If Jesus Christ was willing to go through that, if Jesus Christ was willing to suffer and die on a cross to save your soul, there isn't anything that He wouldn't do for you. Amen. So right now, I want everybody to bow your heads right where you're at. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Fold your hands together. And right now, I want you to think of the biggest thing in your life right now that's got you worried. The biggest thing. The biggest thing that is eating away at you. Picture that thing right now in your hands. And now in your mind, I want you to take that thing with one hand in your mind and put that in the hands of Jesus with the nail prints in it. Just hand it over to Him. You say, Kevin, I don't know why this thing has to happen. Stop it. Don't go there. Just put that thing in Jesus' hands. Because He has experienced every single thing that you've ever experienced. What you're dealing with right now, He dealt with. He was tempted to worry about exactly the same thing. He knows exactly what's wrong. He knows exactly what has to be done to fix it. And He's got the power to do it. You give it to Him. And then God has given us incredible promise in Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. When we give Him what worries us, in exchange, He will give us His peace. Just give it to Him. And right now, I want everybody to take a deep breath and let it out. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will not fear. I will not worry what man or the devil or the world can do to me. By His stripes, by His blood, I am healed. I am healed. You believe that and you receive that and you keep hanging on to that by faith. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You in an incredibly scary world. We're seeing things, Lord, that we've never seen before, that we've never imagined before. Just thank You, Lord, that You are in absolute control. And right now, today, Lord, we confess that worry. It is a sin, that lack of faith in You. We just come and we lay that, we put that in Your hands, trusting, Lord, that You have the power to do absolutely anything. And Lord, I just ask and pray that You would ease our mind. We would be into Your Word. We'd be into prayer. Lord, we would be doing the things that make for peace. Lord, You'd be more real to us in these last days than ever, ever before. Just thank You, Lord. Thank You that there is peace through Your shed blood. Peace for everything that worries us. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.